There's a terrible tragedy where a man killed five at a gay bar. One is maybe a trans man, or else just a yokel with a mullet. Another is a straight man. Another is a straight girl. Another is a gay man, I assume because his hair is nice and tight. And then the fifth one is either a trans man who looks fabulous, or else just some woman who dresses slutty. So out of the five people killed in the gay nightclub shooting, one to three of them are maybe gay. Or to put it another way, two to four of them are straight. Coming up on the Anti-Woke Podcast. Alright, there's no way for me to prove it, but it looks like the nightclub shooter is a non-binary they-them. And I swear to God, I made this whole podcast before I read that on Twitter with Andy No. So there was a mass shooting at a queer club the other day in Colorado Springs. Five people killed, 25 injured. The shooter was like tackled and taken down and kicked in the head and then arrested. And I swear to God, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's just some weird stuff going on with this shooting. And we don't know the story yet or what really happened. Anyways, he's getting charged with murder and hate crimes. But there's some weird stuff going on where, like, so the guy, I think there's two heroes. I'm not sure about the other one. But, like, the main hero, he was at the gay club with his daughter. And his daughter, her boyfriend, was a bartender there. And the hero might have even been there. He's an older guy. You can watch interviews with him. Kind of fat. I think maybe a former military guy who just took the mother effer out. But they always say he was there with his family. So I don't know. I don't know if he was there with his family and that was just his daughter. Or if he's there with, I mean, I don't know, for fucking Thanksgiving or what. But it's just very weird. Maybe I don't know a goddamn thing about gay bars. I've been to a gay bar. All right, let's put it this way. In Portland, there was a gay bar. It was called Embers. And I went there once or twice. I think it was back when I had fake ID, so I was like 19 years old. I was probably the hottest piece of ass in that entire gay bar. And I think I went there with a few of my friends, most of who were straight. I think one or two of our friends was gay. And we went there, it was early. We did not like close the place down, you know. Probably went there for like one beer at 6 p.m. and then left. I didn't get laid, let's put it that way. That was my chance to be gay. But anyways, this gay bar, except for like me and my friends, everyone who was there was a gay man. There weren't any women, period, lesbian or straight. I mean, the point of the place was, if you're a gay man, you could go there, you could drink alcohol, and you could talk to other gay men, and you know, if it got late enough at night and you were feeling randy, you might be able to hook up, which is fine. But what I want to say is that what that place did not have, it did not have people and their families. It did not have women of any sort. It did not have straight men. I mean, you know, they're just why would you go there? And so this Colorado Springs gay bar, it was called Club Q, I think. So, you know, it's queer. Maybe it's queer, like the modern kind of queer where you're not actually, like women in particular will be like, I'm queer. And you're like, well, you look like a woman. They're like, yeah, but I'm still queer. And you're like, well, you know, you've been in a long-term relationship with a man, and you're married, and you have kids. And you're like, yeah, but I'm still queer. So I don't know if that's what the kind of queer they are there at that club. But anyways, the mainstream media just lets it roll off their tongue so easily. They're like, the hero was there, was at the gay bar with his family. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? A person at a gay bar with his family. I mean, whatever. I don't know. It looks like it's a bunch of straight people at a gay club. So whatever the hell that means. It makes me think there was this strip club called Sassy's in Portland that I used to go to. And before I ever went there, supposedly it was a lesbian strip club. But by the time I got there, it was just naked women and then men putting money on the counter to you know, whatever. So they would come up and shake their hoo-haws closer to your face. And so, you know, the answer to a lesbian strip club is, do lesbians pay more money for a naked woman, or will men pay more money to see a naked woman? And the answer is, you know, by a factor of 100, men will pay more money than lesbians will pay money. I mean, lesbians can go look at their own hoo-ha. So, I don't know. Just kind of funny. I wonder if this LGBTQ club is LGBTQ in the way that that lesbian strip bar was lesbian. And what that means is it wasn't. And so, yeah, we know. One of the bartenders, at the minimum, was straight. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I don't know. I don't know. That one, I don't know. I don't know if gay clubs have a lot of straight bartenders or if they're usually gay. I think the one I went to, they were all gay. I don't know. And so, you know, it's going to come down to the killer and what was his motivations. Like, it happened in Colorado. So this morning, NPR was like, this Republican politician is anti-gay. And then this other politician is anti-gay. And then they interviewed someone who's like, you know, if you talk about anti-gay stuff, you're going to cause someone to go kill a bunch of gays. And none of that was tied to this killer, right? It's the general thing. I mean, you know, they're talking about it in a segment about the killer, but they're not like, this politician talked anti-gay stuff and it made this killer go do it. Like, there's none of that because no one knows at this point. So they just, you know, they just guilt by association. It's a form of lying. I'm not sure what it is. It's kind of like saying, John is a man, and half of men are murderers. And then you go, wait, are you saying John is a murderer? And you'd be like, no, I didn't say John was a murderer. I just said that John is a man, and that half of men are murderers. I didn't ever accuse John of anything. And, you know, maybe the woke people have the anti-woke people over a barrel, and are going to ream them with this one. But it makes me think, I think the second biggest killing in history is the Pulse nightclub shooting happened in Florida maybe 10 years ago. And a Muslim man, I say that because the reason why he did it, he's like, I'm a Muslim and I hate these fucking Americans. And so he went to a nightclub and he just shot a ton of people and killed them. And the nightclub was called the Pulse nightclub. And it turned out it was a gay bar or something. Yeah, I think it was a real gay bar. Like, you know, you didn't shoot the... Whatever. You didn't accidentally shoot a whole bunch of straight people, which I think is what happened with this Colorado Springs one. Anyways, when you went into the Pulse nightclub and shot everyone, you shot actual gay people. And then, you know, the media's like, you know, whatever. America's racist. America's sexist. America's evil. You know, from the moment it was founded, you know, this is what you get, you evil white males. Except it was a Muslim. They played down the Muslim part. But anyways, the kicker was, I think it took about 2 years to come out, so no one knows it. But it turned out that the Muslim man who went into that bar, he did not know it was a gay bar. So, you know, everyone in America has the false impression that a white man went into a gay bar and killed a bunch of gays because he hates gays. And then 2 years later, you know, when finally it comes out because they're hiding it because it doesn't fit the narrative, it was like, no, actually... Muslims hate Americans, and they didn't even know they were gay. So we'll just have to wait and see on this one. And another thing that's funny about this is, like, you look at the people who got killed in the shooting. Some of them look like they might be gay. Most of them don't look like that. You see the heroes who were there with their family. They don't look gay. But now that, like, people are going there with, like, laying down flowers in front of the nightclub building... All of them look gay or queer, or, you know, they got their hair, you know, it's a bunch of, like, women with their hair dyed blue and stuff like that. I'm watching a YouTube video called Largest Private Reef Tank in America. So some guy with a thick Italian accent, he lives in New York. I think it's not in the city, upstate New York. He's got a house that's kind of shaped like a castle, except it's modern. Anyways, some super rich guy. They didn't explain that. But he has, like, a freaking 10-foot-tall, 20-foot-long saltwater tank just full of hundreds. You know, I think they're guesstimating 500 different fish. Every one of those fish, like, amazing looking. And so the fish tank is in the living room or whatever. It's in a room that people hang out in. And then they're like looking at all the apparatus you have to have to keep up with your tank. And basically there's room after room, about the equivalent of a small house to, you know, the tank is just the size of like a big living room. But then you need a whole house worth of crap to keep it working. He's got a room that is dedicated to keeping the water warm when it's too cold outside or in the house. And he's got giant infrastructure for cooling down the tank when it's too warm, etc. And I'm pretty sure he has a guy who like works there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you subcontracted out. But anyways, he does not deal with it. Someone is feeding the fish like 5 times a day. Someone is cleaning the glass. I mean, it's plexiglass. Someone is cleaning the plexiglass like every day. You got to have another room for giant filtration things. I mean, anyways, that's kind of like whatever. You know, this guy is super rich. He decided to spend his money this way. I'm just making this podcast because I had an idea. Like, I went to Disneyland 8 times when I was a kid. My grandparents lived in Orange County, California. You know, so I've been to Universal Pictures and Knott's Berry Farm. I mean, I've been to every SeaWorld. I've been to everything. And one of my favorite things is aquariums. Like, in Oregon, we don't have anything with a roller coaster or nothing like that. But we do have an aquarium. It's like a small piece of crap kind of local aquarium in a city of about 50,000. And it's still amazing. I love aquariums. And so here was my thought. Like, I don't care how rich you are and how big your castle-looking brand new house is. You can't have Disneyland inside your house. I mean, maybe you could have a real small roller coaster inside your house, and it would still have to be enormous. Or you could do a big old roller coaster outside, but, you know, it'd be in the rain. But the thing you can do is you can have yourself an aquarium. And if you got, like, 500 fish, which cost from, I mean, I don't know what they cost. You know, maybe some of them are $10, but I'm sure some of them are $10,000. Anyways, it's amazing. It's cool. It would be nice to be rich. And then, of course, the best thing about being rich, I mean, I've never been rich. My understanding, the very absolute pinnacle, best thing in the universe about being super rich is having your own private jet. I'm sure this guy has that too. Makes me want to talk about a time I tried to get a fish tank going. I wasn't doing saltwater. Saltwater requires lots of maintenance and, more importantly, lots of money. And when I was doing this, I had no money. But anyways, I decided to do it on the cheap, do a freshwater tank. And so I went to the local fish store back when they had those things. I don't think they barely exist anymore. You can buy anything you want on the internet now. I tried to buy a bunch of goldfish the other month in the summer. And it's super cheap on eBay. But they're like, it's 102 degrees in Southern Oregon. We're not going to ship them to you. They refunded my money, you know, before anything even happened. Which is a good reminder to me. I have a bunch of ponds. I need to buy some more goldfish. I think they'd ship them to me now, maybe. But anyways, back when I was a dumb, stupid, full of cum, early 20-year-old, someone gave me a fish tank or something, and so I went to the fish store, and I bought some stuff, and what I wanted was the most weird-looking, interesting things. And so, it's all freshwater, but I got like an eel, I got like a crawdad, which looks like a lobster, and I got a frog. And I took those things home, and like, within an hour, the crawdad had cut off one of the frog's legs. And then that frog's leg got covered in some sort of kind of wispy, floaty kind of infection stuff. Anyways, and the frog died. I think within a day, the frog died. And then I think the next day, the crawdad died for no reason that I was aware of. And I think the eel, it lasted, I don't know, a couple weeks. But basically, they were all dead shortly. All right, and I'm continuing to watch this video, and he's just going into another room. And this is the room where we grow the coral, and then another room. And this is the room where we grow the giant clams, and then another room, and then blah, and then just, you know, and then we had to put it in a basement. We had to retrofit a basement below the basement to do whatever. Anyways, he's got as much room. It's like 2 big houses worth of crap, just so you have one, you know, 20 by 20 by 10 tank. But what I want to say is, like, throughout all these rooms, is nothing but piping, right? There's just piping going from every room to the next room. You know, here's where you clean it, here's where you heat it, here's where you cool it, and all the water is going around through piping, which is fine, that makes sense. But the thing is that the piping is all, it's PVC, but basically it's plastic. All the piping, all the crap that they got is made out of plastic. And you may not know, but like saltwater tank animals are incredibly delicate, you know, like a shark. Like they, you know, to this day, no one has ever been able to keep a great white shark alive as a pet in a tank for more than, I think maybe 3 months, but usually they die within like a day. But anyways, like the safest thing for fish, apparently, is plastic. It's just, it's non-reactive. Plastic does not react with salt water, doesn't react with water, doesn't react with anything, doesn't react with acid, base, etc. You can get any chemical you want, and it'll come in a plastic container because plastic is non-reactive. So you just might think that plastic is leaching, you know, microplastics into the water and blah, blah, blah. The answer is it doesn't. Plastic is like one of the most amazing substances ever. Like, you know, when we completely solve climate change and all our electricity comes from solar or nuclear or whatever, we are still going to be making stuff out of plastic because it is an absolutely amazing substance that is totally inert, and sometimes, frequently, that's exactly what you want. All right, they don't say how much this guy pays for the fish, but it ain't $10. It's probably $1,000 to $100,000 for each fish. Just little fish. He's like, this one comes from 500 feet below the surface of the sea. And we got a fish surgeon to come here and do an operation on its bladder. Twitter handle, @AntiWokePodcast, and thanks for listening.